Next person, please. Please state your name for the record.
Terry Schulte.
Spell your last name, please.
S-C-H-U-L-T-E.
And I should ask you to spell your first name also.
T-E-R-I.
Good thing I did. Ms. Schulte, what is your residence address?
2849 23rd Street Southwest, Center, North Dakota.
Is that also your post office address?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Schulte, are you speaking for anyone, any group or organization other than yourself?
Myself and my mother.
All right. Ms. Schulte, as you heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath.
Yes, sir.
Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years, or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Ms. Schulte, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
You may proceed.
I have a concern, and the one question you asked was who I was representing. It's me, myself. I mean, me, my mom. And we also have a trust company that is handling my grandfather's farm. And there is one issue that I am going to bring up for that. And my main issue is that the power line is going to come right past the front of my house. 507 feet or 510 feet away. That's where they're running the power line. And I'm not happy about it. My mom's not happy about it. And I really don't think anybody here that had a really nice place sitting with a beautiful view would be too happy to have some ugly transmission line get and run past 500 feet from their front door. So I have an issue with that. And they are going to be coming down through the pastures on my grandfather's land that is being run by a trust company. And we had them come out and stake where they're going to be putting the poles so we'd have an idea of where the line is actually going to be. And we were assured that they're going to fix any damages that happen will be repaired. The land's going to be put back to its natural state. It's not possible with native grass, with native land. Once you disturb it, it doesn't matter what you do to it, you are not ever going to put it back to its natural state. It's not possible to do it. You may get it close, but you will never put it back to the way it was to begin with. So I do kind of have an issue with that. And they're going to come out and they're going to plant the native species of plants, forbs, whatever. I've seen a lot of replanting on other projects in other places at other times, and it always seems like you end up with a lot of noxious weeds coming up in those areas that were disturbed, and I really don't like that idea either. So those are my main concerns with this power line. And someone did bring up earlier about digging and when they're going to be doing the concrete bases for these towers, which was something that I never thought of. I also have a very shallow water table around me. And being that we're only going to be 500 feet from my house and my well, I am a little concerned about what kind of damage they can possibly do to the well. I also know that I talked to the NRCS people, And I was informed that there is an endangered species of bird, and I can't tell you what the name of the bird is, but in my area, right around where I live, there is an endangered species of bird, so they figured that I'd never be able to get wind towers put up there, which is fine with me, because they're about ugly, too. But if you can't get a wind tower put up, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be able to put a power line through there either if it's going to disturb those birds. So, and they also have a certain amount of money that they're going to pay for cropland and a certain amount of money that they're going to pay for pasture land, and that's been determined according to the land values in the county where you're located at. And that's all fine, except what if we want to turn around and take that pasture and break it up in 5 years and make a crop, you know, field out of it? Not that that's going to happen, but what if it was going to happen? Suddenly your pasture turns into cropland and suddenly the value is a whole lot different. I think maybe they should address that possibility. That's my feelings on it. That's all I have to say. I appreciate everyone giving me the time to say it.
Ms. Smith?
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Sagsveen?
Do you have could you describe the location of your property? I don't know if there's any map up that you could do
it's
that.
The southeast quarter of section 29, 142, 82. It is.
Section 29, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Mr. Lean?
No questions, thank
questions
you.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Clark.
Terry, thank you for being here, and thanks for sitting through a long day and testifying.
Thank you.
I think that may have been my question. I had marked it down. But it is that and there's a little yellow dot there. It's right on the edge of the corridor on the map that I'm looking at. It's 12A. 2090. Do you have...
You have map 12A in front of you there.
Yep.
One of those maps.
Right here.
You got it.
Yes, sir.
And again, I guess I'll ask the question that I've asked some others here, with if you have some alternative, something like that you think would help mitigate the impact that you're talking about. Understanding that you're in a little bit of a pickle here because you're so close to the beginning of the line, there's sort of limited opportunities to perhaps shift it, because that is one of the, you know, absolute defined points is the beginning and the end of the line, as well as the crossing of the river. So there may be less flexibility in this area, but do you have any sort of suggestions that might be helpful in
yes,
sir. Particular circumstance?
And the one thing that I should probably mention is my mother has a house there as well. I mean, we have a duplex, so we both have our own residences there. They could have gone to the south a quarter mile. They could have gone a mile to the north and got on an actual section line that is a road, a section line road, and they could have followed that for at least 3 miles, if not four. They could have come up from the south to get that mile to the north across pasture that someone else wouldn't have probably had a problem with them going across, and they wouldn't have had to go past any farmsteads to get there. And the really great part of it is when you're figuring out what they're paying by acreage, you get paid X amount for your cropland and you get paid X amount for your pasture, but when they're coming right across your front yard, they don't make any changes in what you get paid for that. You don't get reimbursed for devaluing the land with the wonderful view that they've given you, and you know that the value of the property is going to go down big time just on view alone. Not to mention, if somebody was afraid of getting some kind of health issues from the power that's going through the line.
So you'd said you might think about putting it, recommending it about a quarter mile south, or was it a quarter mile north?
Quarter mile to the south.
So it looks like
it's actually there is a transmission line down there. We got lucky enough to get the one 30 years ago too.
That's the 250 kV. That's the DC line, right?
Yeah, they could have done something with it. Actually, it would be better if they'd go a mile to the north, but anywhere that isn't right in my face when I look out the window would be good. I kind of wake up slow in the morning anyway, and I have to have coffee, and an ugly view just isn't going to help. It's just not.
Okay, thank you for your testimony.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Cock.
Thank you, Terry, for your testimony. Just a quick question. Tony, I think, may have already got the answer. I want to double check. So your preference would be to have it run north of you instead of southeast, rather than have it parallel the current line. I mean, it kind of comes down to where you live at. It looks like you can look at two lines to the south, or one line to the north and one line to the south. Given those two scenarios, I mean, which one of those would be preferable?
The one that I have to the south right now is not a problem, way down there. I'd rather have this one to the north.
Okay, but you can see the south line from your house too, right?
In a couple of spots. Okay. It's a half mile away.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Further questions from the commission? Commissioner Kramer.
Oh, thank you for your testimony, Terry. As I look at this, you're saying they've told you, or they've staked out spots or a route specifically within about 507 feet of your home, so at the end of your driveway. You're on the very north edge of the corridor. If we were to approve this corridor as they present it today, there's probably another 490 feet south of there yet. Just knowing that area as well as you obviously do, is there some wiggle room there, or is there some reason why going further south within this proposed corridor is a problem that you would know of? I mean, other than still close to you, but.
I think that where you're going to run into problems with that is going to be when you get right to the east of me, because then you're running into farmland.
Okay.
And they don't want to, you know, they're going to go with the cheapest route, which is across pasture, which that's fine. If they'd have gone to a mile to the north and hit that section line, they could have run all that way down the section line. They could have gone over to Highway 25 on that section line. They'd have been going across pasture or right on that section line, which nobody is farming on the section line. They could have followed that all the way over to Highway 25, jumped Highway 25, and taken it right down to Price and gone across the river at the same place where the other one goes across, or pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just am unfortunate to have put a house right there, and who thought they'd put a power line right in front of it.
All right. I have nothing further. Thank you again.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Smith?
I have nothing further.
Mr. Sagsveen?
Nothing further.
Mr. Lean?
I would ask, there's another house right on that 250 kV line that's south of you. It's there's a creek or something running through there, and it's right on the creek. Do you know whose house or what the... Is there somebody in that house? I mean...
Are you talking about the one right down almost on the transmission line to the south?
Yeah.
That right. Is an abandoned farmstead. That was actually my great-grandfather's homestead place.
So nobody lives in that house?
No, sir. The house doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any further questions from the commission? Ms. Smith?
Your Honor.
I'm sorry. Commissioner Clark.
I assume you talked with Minn Kota or their agents on occasion?
I've tried, yes.
Had you offered that route and said, you know, look, there's nobody down there, it's an old abandoned farmstead, could you put it closer to that existing DC line?
The people that we actually talked to was Dina at Cattermas Lee and Jackson.
Okay.
And I don't know, I haven't talked to her again since we had our meeting with the trust company and her. So I don't know if she has actually approached anybody from Minn Kota with any ideas about it. I don't know.
The reason I ask is, I mean, when we look at those list of things that the commission is trying to mitigate, I mean, it's a possibility, and I don't know if this is the case or not, but all we see on this map is a yellow dot, which says to us, well, there's somebody living there, there's a residence. And in this case, you're saying, no, that's an old abandoned farmstead down there,
mm-hmm.
and you're living in this other yellow dot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe there's a chance that in looking at it, they were trying to avoid where they thought someone was and instead moved it a little closer to you where someone actually is.
No, they knew nobody was down there, but okay. That I don't know. I'm sure they just wanted to take a straight shot and run with it, and I understand that, but I'd like to see them run right. through their own house with it instead of mine.
Right. So. Although, I mean, residence is something that the commission can take into consideration. It's, you know, more unique, so...
Mm-hmm.
But they and if cost they, shouldn't be the only consideration.
If they could go to the south, I mean, that would work too. It's our land down there by that other dot, so there shouldn't really be a... I know that would be more acceptable. Just getting it, you know, right out of our face is more acceptable, whichever direction they got to do it.
Sure.
So.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Further questions from the commission? Ms. Smith?
Your Honor.
Mr. Sagsbean?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean?
I would just wonder what was wrong with paralleling that 250, that DC line, all the way across. And I guess that's a question from Minn Kota.
No, may I assume no that that wasn't a question, Mr. Lean, and we can excuse Ms. Schulte?
Yep.
Thank you very much, Ms. Schulte.
Thank you.
Next, please.
Good evening.
It is, isn't it? I'm sorry. I really am. Please state your name for the record, sir.
Tom Nudd.
Spell your last name, please.
N-U-D-D. You should know all the four-letter words by now.
Please state your residence address.
1759 36th Avenue, Northeast, Harvey, North Dakota.
Is that also your post office address?
Yes.
And Mr. Nutt, do you speak for anyone other than yourself, any organization or group?
No.
Mr. Nutt, as you heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Nudd, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Please, you may proceed.
Thank you for hearing me, members of the Public Service Commission. We have been contacted to run a line across our property, and from the beginning, we made it clear to the right-of-way agents that we felt that if they decided to run a line there, it should be adjacent to the section right-of-way, and that any easement that be granted have no piggybacking on it. And when we did finally receive a copy of the option to the easement, they have the line out in our field, and they have a piggyback agreement in there where basically they own the easement and they can do as they please with the easement, give it to communications or anybody afterwards. And we're asking the Public Service Commission to make it part of their ruling when they grant this, that they put the center line of the towers at the edge of the section right away, or 33 feet plus a little bit for foundations from the center of the section line, and that all piggyback agreements be stricken from the easements. In other words, grant them permission to build this system, but they have no rights beyond that.
Ms. Smith?
I'm just wondering if you could identify where your property is for us.
14872, section 34. It's the west half of the southwest quarter.
I think I'll need a little bit more, honestly, of, can you give me a town or?
Rustland.
Rustland.
Kind of, sort of.
Property, basically, okay.
I think if you look at what's, there's an exhibit in that book, and it's 12D, and it's a map. I think 12D, and it'll show you at the top. I think your property might be on that, and maybe you could point it out to us again.
No, I don't think it's 12B.
D, I'm sorry, D.
Yes.
Okay, and you said which section again?
34.
34. Okay.
14872.
14872. Okay. Okay, I've got it. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Mr. Sagsby.
I have no questions.
Mr. Lee.
It appears that the corridor is on the section line you're talking about, right?
The option for the easement that was sent to us puts the center line of the towers out in the field instead of on the edge of the easement to this the highway right-of-way, as you would call it, or the section line easement as prescribed by the Century Code.
Okay. Thanks. No further questions.
Questions by the Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you for your testimony. There's a home to the south, or a residence that appears from to the southeast of you, probably, well, on the south side of 12th Street northeast there. Are you familiar with that residence?
Yes, I am.
If the line was to go where you're suggesting, how close would it run to that residence?
75 feet closer than it is now.
Do you know if that would happen to put it inside of 500 feet?
It would be much greater than 500 feet.
Okay. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Any, Commissioner Clark?
Thanks, and thanks for hanging in there.
I hope you understand. I'm not only asking for myself. There's a lot of people feel the same way. These towers, we don't care how wide the easement is. It's the center line of the towers belongs on the edge so that you minimize the hazard to equipment, to the towers. Instead of farming around them, you come down the field, you just jog around them and keep going. You move them out into the field. This option says that they can put those towers as much as 425 feet into my land. Other people are 1,300 feet into their fields. If you move them to the edge of the section line where the easement for the roads are, You just jog around them. You don't overlap with chemicals, with seed, fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
The first round, they're out of the way.
Yeah, thank you. And just to be sure, the edge of the section line would be within the corridor as well, correct? So,
I beg your pardon?
Well, the edge of the section line where you're suggesting that the eventual route would be is within the corridor, so...
Yes.
I mean, we may have an opportunity at a later time to deal with that if need be in the actual routing phase. I did have one other question.
I know it can be done because you mentioned the line in Minn Kota mentioned the transmission line that's being built in Minnesota right now.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped and asked the people there. That one is run like that. They don't go out in the middle of the fields. They run right next to the interstate in places.
Oh, yeah. They sure do. I noticed it a few weeks ago.
They're even putting their foundations half on the right-of-ways in lots of places.
Oh, I know what I was going to comment on. It's more a comment than a question. You brought up some of the contract terms in the easements and so on and so forth. And believe me, if I was a landowner, I'd be asking those exact same questions so I have understanding what you're talking about. I just want to make sure that folks understand from a commission standpoint, the law is pretty clear that that's not an area we can deal with in an order. That's those sort of negotiations between landowners and utility companies are, they may be a proper venue for some other body court, but they're outside of our purview. So while I'm sympathetic to what you're saying, from a commission standpoint, it's probably going to be hard for us to address that in our order.
You mean you have no jurisdiction over piggybacking?
Well, over the terms and conditions between a landowner and the utility company. We may have ability with regard to citing corridors and lines and things like that, but when it comes into contract negotiations, that's outside of our control.
Well, I've lived in other, or I have property in other parts of the country, and I've run up against this piggybacking, and it's not fair, it's not nice, because once they get their easement, if that's in there, you don't have any more control over it either.
No, I...
So now it's your chance to put a control. It's for a power line and a power line only.
Ms. Smith?
I don't have anything else.
Mr. Sagsveen?
No additional questions.
Mr. Lean?
Nothing further.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
Next, please. Please state your name for the record.
Wayne Krush.
Spell your last name, please.
K-R-U-S-H.
And it was Dwayne or
Lowayne. Wayne? Lowayne.
Mr. Krush, what is your residence address?
602 North 2nd Street, Wilton.
Is that also your post office address?
P.O. Box 444.
Mr. Krush, are you speaking for anyone other than yourself and your family?
No, myself.
Mr. Krush, as you heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Krush, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed.
Okay. I think it's 12A. I believe it's Exhibit 12A. Where the power line crosses Highway 83 and goes north. then turns to go east again. I was wondering if that could be, could go north a half a mile further and then east over to where it goes north again. My buildings and stuff are probably 200 feet, 300 feet maximum from the quarter line where they're coming across. And if you'd go a half a mile north and come straight across there, you would be, instead of on the south side of the quarters, you'd be on the north side of the quarters. On the north side of the quarters coming across. Actually, if I just put up a couple grain bins, I was going to put them up on the north side there, but I moved them over to the east side. If I'd have put them up on the north side last year, they'd have been right on the quarter line. And it wouldn't, knowing the landowners and stuff, it wouldn't change any of the landowners at all. It'd be the same landowners, except being on the south side of the quarter, it'd be on the north side of the quarter.
I don't have any questions.
Excuse me, Mr. Sagsby.
All right. Sir, are you talking about making the corridor line go to the northern portion of Section 18? And then jogging east? Or am I looking at the wrong spot?
Yeah, I believe that's 18. I believe that's 18 there, yeah.
And then so it would kind of parallel 14th Street southwest when you go west or east there?
Yep. And those are all, except for 2 miles in there, that's all section lines all the way through there.
Do you know in Section 10 whether or not that's an occupied home, that yellow dot there north of the 14 in the 14th Street southwest?
Yep.
That is occupied?
Yep.
And then Section 11, is that also occupied?
Yep, Myron and Brent Bassarabo. But see, they're way off. They're off. Myron's off. It shows like it's pretty close there, but he's off. Oh, he's off 1,500 feet or more, probably there.
I don't have any
questions. Oh, the other one is, yeah, Josh Bassarabo would be the other one there.
I don't have any additional questions.
Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Questions from the Commissioner Kramer.
Just thank you. Which spot are your buildings? I mean, which section is it exactly?
I'd be on 15 the way it looks.
Okay.
Just it's right there. The buildings are right there. All right. But I don't have a house or anything, so that's why there's no dot there. But sure. I've got buildings, and it's right in my backyard here.
All right, I have nothing further. Thank you.
Any further questions from the commission?
I appreciate your candid testimony. You came up and said what you're concerned with, gave us the solution. That was great. I mean, the only thing I can see
is... Well, actually, they could go another 15 miles north there, straight north.
I hear you.
My real opinion, instead of going east.
But would you agree that your neighbor to the north wouldn't want him to get too close to his house, too?
No, I won't be close to his house.
Okay.
No, not on that section line.
So basically,
yeah, they're way. I mean, you know, somebody could come out and look at it, but I mean, they're 200 or 300 feet from my place, and they're probably 1,500 minimum of 1,500 feet away from theirs.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Further questions from the commission? Ms. Smith, anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Sagsby.
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean.
No, Your Honor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a long day, Mr. Wickerle.
It's been a long day.
You're getting close.
PSC.
I have your last name, obviously. Tell me again, though, your first name.
My first name is Norman.
All right, Mr. Wickerle, what is your residence address?
I'm a residence at 231 Booty Avenue in Herdsfield, North Dakota.
Is that also your post office address?
No, my post office address is post office box 126.
And I understand that you're here speaking for yourself and not on behalf.
I'm here for myself and my family.
Very good. Mr. Weckerly, as you well know by now, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Weckerly, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed, sir.
Well, some of my testimony may parallel a little bit my son who was on earlier, but you ask everybody else what their education was, so I thought really I should tell you that I'm just a high school graduate. Spent a couple years in the Army in the Korean War, which kind of tells you what my age is. And I did go to Baylor University in Waco for a couple quarters waiting for my wife to get her degree. So she's the educated one in the family, and I guess I'm the other half. I farmed and ranched sheep and cattle until 1968 in the Herdsfield community. And all of my work has been, my work life has been Herdsfield or extended from that. I farmed until 68, and in 1968 I bought the local elevator and was in the grain business and continued to farm until 1985. And then I rented the leased the country elevator out, but then we took it back and my son has operated it since. During that time, the community also needed a store, as all little communities have, so I built and operated the country store. To date, we do. I sold and serviced property and casualty and MPCI insurance until I was legislated out of it just a couple years ago. Some of my experiences with the value or not value of power lines was that I owned some irrigated land in Arizona in the late 70s. It was all flood irrigated at the time, and I sold it prior to the time that it was switched over to the sprinkler irrigation. But when sprinkler irrigation came into this land north of Wilcox, Arizona, there's also power lines, and the farmers that were there at the time had to pay to get the power lines off so they could sprinkle irrigate their farms. And I just bring that out to explain how technology does not stop. It started whenever, started, you know, after the Ice Age, and it's still going yet. I purchased and owned land close enough to Bismarck that could have been development land, but turned out that it had less value because it had Bureau of Reclamation towers on it. I didn't think about it when I bought it, but when I went to sell it, I found out that it did depreciate the value of the property. I've been a member of several agriculture organizations in my life, Farm Bureau, Greater North Dakota Association, U.S. Durham Growers Association, which I was the president for 5 years, from 77 to 82. I was appointed to the North Dakota Wheat Commission in 1974 by the then Governor Art Link. I was the chairman of that organization from 1975 to 1977. Also was a member of the U.S. Wheat Associates, appointed to the Federal Grain Inspection Service Advisory Board with John Block, Secretary of Agriculture, 81 to 86. Appointed a public member of the Minneapolis Grain Exchange by the Grain Exchange in 1978 and served until 1982. All these experiences opened my mind to the complexity and advancements in agriculture throughout the world. I made several trips, foreign trips, promoting wheat at the time, and it became so apparent that with the regulations in the Soviet Union, and I was in the Soviet Union before the wall fell, how we could regulate ourselves just right out of the society that we want here. In my farming life in Herdsfield, I built a farm up to 60 quarter sections, which now includes my son and grandsons. This is primarily owned. I've supervised 5 to 15 employees in addition to our own family. So I did have a working background. I thought about my relations with the PSC when I was on the Wheat Commission, and that was back in the Bruce Hagan days. So you can tell how long ago that was. Maybe nobody else remembers Bruce Hagan, but he was there an awful long time. When it comes to the power line today, I never was contacted personally by a representative of Minn Kota or Cadmus Lee and Jackson. I was called by KLJ and asking for permission to survey on the land. I refused them the permission to do it, but that didn't seem to bother them, because three times I asked people to leave the land, and each time they came back, of course. Now, the third time, I don't know, I wasn't there after that, but for three times, they didn't really pay much attention to their lack of permission to come on the land to survey it. It's so different than I signed an easement for a water line 2 years ago, an underground water line from the Bureau. And I say this because I'm not anti-development. I'm not anti-improvement of North Dakota. But there, they personally contacted me. Everything was smooth and clear. And in a month and a half, I signed an easement for them to do it. So I just bring that out that I think sometimes people think that anybody that testifies or resists something is some kind of a troublemaker. I'm not a typical landlord, I don't think. I think it's awful easy for landlords to sign easements that don't affect them. You know, they get some money out of it, but the tenant out there farming has got to pay the price. And he does pay the price. But I've worked this farm, this land all my life. I realize the cost of the next generation or tenant who will farm this land. I'm trying to look at the big picture today. You know, you've asked most people, where do you want the line to go? Well, to me, first you look at the big picture. We need the line. According to Minn Kota, it's all peaches and ice cream. Everything is just perfect. Well, I think that we know better out there. All my life, I've worked to improve the productivity of land, whether it's what people call poor land or bad land. I heard the testimony from the people in Grand Forks about, oh, this is poor land, this is bad land. No land is bad land. It just needs to be managed differently. If it's salty and it's pasture, you manage it for that. It's not bad land and it's not poor land. It just needs to be managed differently. And the technology has affected how we have managed our land so much during my lifetime. With pasture and wildlife enhancement, it requires the least management. Water resources, dugouts, dams, you know, I went through all that, planting trees. But in order to improve total productivity of land, it must be tilled. And it has been very popular in western North Dakota, of course, the last few years to use no-till. Now we're running into a problem with no-till with such high moisture levels. No-till works beautifully when you're dry. When you have a dry year as a farmer, you do everything you can to save moisture. When it's a wet year, you have to do everything you can to get rid of moisture. And now with all this moisture in western North Dakota, no-till is not working, believe me. The tools that have been developed for seed placement and fertilizer have really contributed to enhanced production of land. But with all of this technology and in better tools, these obstructions in the field really affect us the most. And of course, this is where on our farm, as Terry brought out, we buried all our rock piles, we rolled up fences, we have removed all the utility poles that we can, and I have to compliment the Northern Plains Cooperative for having such a good program to share the cost of removing the poles from farmers' fields. And all of this is done to have a minimum interference in crop operations. Accidents cost money, and if anybody can say that they've never had accidents with power poles, I would seriously question their integrity, because I didn't think that I could hit them either, but it's happened to me too. And it has increased with longer hours, with larger equipment, with equipment that you go faster. Same thing relates to a lot of tree rows that were planted in our area where they were too close together. I don't have anything against trees, but they really were bad when they were on every 20 rods, and when you got bigger equipment, then it just... And now with our tillage operations, we don't need the trees to control the erosion. And of course, Terry had mentioned irrigation. Well, I did some investigation of irrigation about 20 years ago on using surface water. Any of you that are familiar with the Hertzfield area know that we are still the Prairie Pottle region. I noticed according to the maps the Prairie Pottle region was south of us, but with the Highway 200 being closed on the west side of Hertzfield and the east side of Hertzfield and the south side going to Tuttle, you know we're in the Prairie Pottle region and we've got a lot of surface water. So I don't even discount what the land that I'm representing couldn't sometime be irrigated with surface water. Now, I'm not going to do it, but I've got two grandsons that are awful ambitious that might. And then, of course, the tiling is something that's really coming in, and a lot of that is being pushed because of the salt levels. The higher the water table, the higher the salt levels. And, of course, we've heard of tiling in Iowa and southern Minnesota and every place else, but, well, it didn't pay to tile $300 an acre land. But it does pay to tile $2,500 an acre land. You know, it's all relative to the values and the cost, and the cost of tiling is less with the tiling machines today, and every farmer's got a big tractor, and I understand they're even building a plant or a warehouse between Fargo and Grand Forks to distribute this drain tile. So all of these things have changed in my lifetime again. And the technology of equipment, Terry had mentioned auto steer. And I pulled my grandson out of the middle of a slough 3 years ago when he first came home because he had an auto steer. Auto steer doesn't detect sloughs either. I can foresee in my lifetime, I hope I live long enough, I can foresee that we could have remote controlled power units in the field. I think we could have two or three units working in a field with one person controlling. And I know that the power company says that these electronic fields will not affect that. But you know, I still drive under power lines and the radio crackles and whatever. And I know there's supposed to be things that can suppress that. But it doesn't always work. You know, there's always things that don't work. The spray planes, of course, that's another thing. I mean, they say, well, you could spray plane, you know, parallel. Well, that's right, you know, you could. I mean, anything can be worked around. But I really urge the PSC to support any plans that avoid cropland for siting the poles. I agree with Tom Nudd. Why the poles can't be put right at the section line at the end of the field is beyond what I can see. I'm looking at a couple sections here, and the land that I'm representing is just over the line into Sheridan County. It's section 11 and 12 of 14774. And they have cited, and like I said, they've never talked to me. They gave this to my grandson, but my grandson has nothing to do with this land. They've sited at 1,300 feet in from the section line. And a couple of people here mentioned they had sited it down the half-mile line. I can't for the life of me understand how that can be non-intrusive to cropland. And I see no advantage to them. There's no buildings up there. There's not a building between, there's not a resident along that road between north of Goodrich, the Goodrich Road, and Highway 3. There's not a resident. I see no reality to it. I mean, you know, there was no consultation about what will be good for you. You know, what would be good for you? I've just never gone through something like this. The lack, you know, just the total lack of responsibility. You know, I have to bring a little history. And a few years ago, my son-in-law gave me some CDs on Guns, Germs, and Steel by Jared Diamond. If any of you wonder about the progress of mankind, you should either read the book or get the CDs. You know, the progress of man has been enabled, he says, according to Jared Diamond, by tilling the soil. The hunting and gathering society would not support but a small percentage of our global population. The rise of agriculture after the Ice Age was the first step to domestic farming and consequently management of land resources. And my primary reason for being here is to try to influence you to preserve the opportunity for the next generations to adapt to the change that will come in agriculture. It will come. It's not if. It will come. And if we got 100 years of power poles there, 1,300 feet off the section line, it will affect our operation of that land. And I thank you for your attention.
Ms. Smith.
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Sagsvig.
No questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean.
No questions.
Questions from the commission.
Questions, but I would agree. Guns, Germs, and Steel was a great book. In fact, I loaned it to Commissioner Kalk and just show you how trustworthy he is. I even got it back.
That is good.
Commissioner Kalk?
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Weckerle. I just had a question for you on the, and Tony's right, we read that book. It's an excellent book. And you said Korea, well, that's almost 60 years ago. Or it is 60 years ago, isn't it? I'm going to the Legion Convention here in a little bit, and that's one of the things they're talking about is the Korean service. But you talked a lot about technology. Do you think that there will be a day when, with the technology that drives the tractors, if you will, that you'll be able to program in the saloos and the power poles and those kind of things so that you can take some of that human factor out of that?
Well, I hope you will be able to. You know, I couldn't believe, 10 years ago, I suppose, our farm, when Chad came home from college, he started working harder on the GPS and which is global positioning, which I couldn't believe it could work, but I realized that I guess we have to spend some money on R&D, research and development. And then I began to realize, you know, this isn't any good for this year or next year. We have to get a database. Now, I've even adapted some of this new, you know, language. We got to get the database. We got to get 3 or 4 or 5 years history. This is really necessary that you farm the same land and continue to farm the same land and have the continuity. And I'm very fortunate that I was able to buy as much land as we have that we can have the continuity. But now they've moved into variable rate fertilizer and seed applications. I never dreamed that could work, that this side of the planter can put on more fertilizer and seed than this side of the planter. And it's, as you go over the hill, it cuts back the seed and the fertilizer. When you hit a salty spot, it cuts it back. You know, you seed and fertilize the land that comes off of your GPS from the combine the fall before where the best crop was. That's where you put the most fertilizer and seed. And where there wasn't a very good crop, because of the soil conditions. I mean, that's another step. You various something, or you run over the land that types all the land. So you variable rate, which cuts your costs down with seed at $50 an acre and fertilizer at $50 or $70 an acre. You have to minimize those costs and maximize your yield. Now, to me, this is just the beginning of all of this. I don't know what it's going to be in 50 years. I can see this happening, but either way, when you have a choice, why put the poles 1,300 feet out in the field? Why not put them on a section line? I mean, my first choice, I agree with Terry, should be along 200. And I can't understand why anybody would want to build a line up there where the roads are terrible. Some of them aren't even graveled. And you know, we had to go around by Goodrich and come back to this land here. We couldn't drive north of Hertzfield to this land. And we may not be able to harvest the crop off it and haul it there. We may have to haul it back to the Goodrich Road, go south to 200 and around. We have a real precarious situation out there with rural traffic. And these are all getting to be minimum maintenance roads. You know, the best road that we have in the, or one of the best rural roads we have is where there was a washout. It's not 12th Street, it's the next one. Well, I think it is 12th Street. It was washed out over by the Chaseley Road, so there's no traffic on it. Now they fixed it. That's a pretty good road because there's no traffic. But the other two south of it, between there and Hertzfield, it's just the truck traffic just wrecked them, sneaking across there when 200 was closed east of Hertzfield. So our rural roads, and well, you've all been exposed to the Williston situation with the oil. I can't understand what they're going to do with oil unless they just lay pipelines. At least the oil, they could pump the oil, the pipeline, and get to the highway. But we can't do that, and I don't think if you build that high line there that you're going to be able to do that either. 200 is the place that high line needs to be.
Further questions? Commissioner Kramer.
Well, I'm compelled to ask two questions, and you don't have to answer either one of them, but I'm still compelled to ask them, and that is, do you preface every negotiation and discussion with, I'm not well educated, and do you play poker too?
No, I don't play poker. You know, I never learned to play pinochle or poker. When I went to the Army, I saw these guys losing their whole monthly salary in a poker game, you know, after payday. And one night the guy was winning so much that I staked him with $50. And you know what? He lost the $50.
You're and very well educated.
So that ended my poker.
Thank you. Ms. Smith.
I have nothing.
Mr. Sagsveen.
Nothing further.
Mr. Lee.
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
gentlemen.
Mr. Weckerly, you should take that show on the road.
No. I've shot my wad.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Earl Aune.
Spell your last name for
A-U-N-E.
Me.
A-U-N-E.
E-U-N-E?
A-U.
A-U. Mr. Aune, what is your residence address?
38901 Highway 41, Wilton, North Dakota.
Is that also your post office
yes,
address?
Yes, sir.
And do you speak for any group or organization or just for yourself?
Only myself.
Mr. Aune, as you have heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Aune, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may proceed.
Well, I want to start out, tell a little bit about where I live and so forth. I live along Highway 41, north of Wilton. This proposed line is going to go in the pasture, supposedly across the road from me. Directly across the road is which I own. It's a quarter. I work in Bismarck for the USDA NRCS Plant Material Center. There's been talk around here about, you've heard lately, about native grasses. For over approximately 30 years now, I've worked with native grasses. We raise them down there. And I can guarantee you that if you tear up any land out there that's got native grasses on it, you're never going to get them back to the same. It is not possible. A good example is to look at your CRP that's out here. For years, we put a lot of native grasses on there. You don't see them looking like prairie, do you? So that's why I want you to know that that isn't going to happen. Now, also, I was told that they're going to come in and take a strip about 150 feet wide, tear out the topsoil, and pile it over to the side, go in here, put in their big tower things for the foundation, put the towers up. After they're all done, hang the lines, all done, they're going to come back, put that topsoil back on and reseed it to what it was. It's not going to happen. I'll guarantee you it's going to be full of Canada thistle and probably other things besides, probably other things that are worse. So my concern is about doing that. I also might tell you that that pasture that I am talking about has, twice I have seen sage grouse, or not sage grouse, but grouse over there dancing. You know what dancing they do? Anyway, I've seen them twice in that pasture. Now, what are these towers going to do to that? I really would like to know. I don't think nobody can answer that. I'm afraid they're going to be gone. So my concern is that can we move that line? Now, my friends and neighbors that I live with and work with, around with, they have some ideas. One of them was Luane Cruz just lately. He said, well, let's move that line farther to the north. Well, how about if we take that line and also move it over a half a mile approximately to the west and go straight up, and that's on a section line. Now, you're not going to find hardly anybody along anywhere near that section line for, I don't know, miles going straight north. I can't read this map. I didn't bring my glasses, so I wasn't planning on reading the map. But anyway, that's kind of the suggestion that I got. And the land wagner also earlier had suggested come from the south and come up, move it over farther to the west. That would put it on a section line. Like I said, it would take it, you know, nobody around. Right along Highway 41, there's probably 9 or 10 people that would have to look at that line every day if they put it where they want to put it. If you go down that road at all, you're going to have to look at that line. It may be a half mile away, but you still got to look at it. Now, when I live on the family farm where I was born and raised there. I still live there. And to me, it was a pristine view. If you notice along 83 coming north out of Bismarck, you look out to the east, up here towards Wilton, you see a lot of these windmills. They're getting to dot the landscape. Also, there's a lot of power lines going across there, too. Transmission lines, same thing we're talking about here. You know, I was kind of glad that we had a little pristine view. But they've also moved those wind towers north along Highway 41 now. And so every day I have to look at them even closer than before. Now I got to look at a power line, too. If we move that to the west, that's going to kind of take it out of my view. And there's very few people that are going to see it over there. They're going to see it now anyway. The same people that would see it are going to see it now. But all them other people on the highway, we wouldn't have to look at it. And like I said, there's some concern there that I have, and I can't see why they need to put it where they do. I guess with that is about all I got to say.
Ms. Smith?
I was just going to ask if you know the section, township, and range of your
property. No, I don't. I'm not good at that.
All right. That's all right. I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Sagsveen?
I don't have any questions.
Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Questions from the commission?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Commissioner Cook?
Sir, thank you for your testimony. Were you in the room when they were testifying about the native prairie up there in the Grand Forks area?
Yes, I was.
So I guess your thoughts would be you'd probably agree with what you heard those folks say.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Thank you.
It's not going to happen. Like I said, if they tear up that soil, that native soil, and native grasses, they're gone. You can plant them back. You'll get some growing here and some growing there, but how do you plant them back? They have a niche of their own. They have moved into a little niche on their own, and there may be a little few spots here they got them, and then there's another spot up here that has the same one, and they're all intermixed. You can't get them intermixed. You can put them in the thing, but then they're all one solid thing. It'll never be the same.
Thank you.
Anything further, Ms. Smith?
Your Honor.
Mr. Sagsby?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lee?
No.
Thank you very much, Mr. Oddie.
Thank you.
Next, please. You might be the only one left.
The last guy on the docket, so here I am.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record, sir.
Roy S. Kensmoe.
Spell your last name, please.
K-E-N-S-M-O-E.
Mr. Kinsmo, what is your residence address?
211 8th Street Northwest, McCluskey, North Dakota.
Is that also your post office address?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Mr. Kinsmo, do you speak for any group or organization or for yourself and your family?
My family and myself.
All right. Mr. Kinsmo, as you have ad nauseum heard me advise previous witnesses, your testimony is required to be under oath, and I'm required by law to advise you regarding perjury before administering the oath. Perjury is a false statement of material fact which you do not believe to be true. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a fine up to $5,000, imprisonment for a period of up to 5 years or both. Will you raise your right hand, please? Being advised regarding perjury, Mr. Kinsmo, do you swear that the testimony which you're about to give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
I would ask you to go to Exhibit 12, Charlie. And I happen to be, along with my wife and son, one of the fortunate 2 to 5%, I was told by the representative with KLJ that came out, that happened to be on a true diagonal. And I was informed that this is a diagonal project from Grand Forks to Center. And most of what I see is not diagonal. And we own a small piece of land in the northern end there of the diagonal, section 23, 147, 78. We have land in section 26, land in section 13 that is affected by this diagonal. The KLJ representative said we have 11 structures. We had formerly signed an option with Otter Tail to put wind generators on our property. I have been informed that Otter Tail has released some of it, not all of those three sections, but some of them, for transmission line. The best excuse to date that I have received for this diagonal is a lesser cost. And what I would propose is that they would run the line where the line makes the curve and starts on the diagonal, that they would go straight north until they hit the line running east and west, and then go straight through. And I understand I'm going to receive an explanation from Minn Kota on the 29th as to why this can't happen. And if that can't happen, then I would propose that they run up the section line on the west side of section 22, which I own, and that section line is just a trail. And I doubt that the trail is very often even on the section line. And they would turn north in section 34 and go up that section line there until they are straight west of the east-west line up above. That would be my second proposal. And I haven't received anything other than the cost factor on that. And my third option would be to turn and go to the east side of my property and follow that section line north.